is from Acts 4 from the New Testament, page number 1160, Acts chapter 4, verses 1 to 22. Before reading the scripture, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time, very specialized time for all of us, because we ready to open the Bible and ready to read and understand and to ponder about your word, the power of the Holy Spirit from your word. And Heavenly Father, we pray that your Spirit be with us today and fill our hearts. Even be with me, Lord, as you promised. Give me your words to my lips so that I can speak only about our Lord Jesus Christ. So all together we will worship you, we will glorify you, and we will honor you during this very moment. And help us to understand this very beautiful text that we're going to read today. We pray your Son in Jesus' name. Amen. Book of Acts, chapter 4, verses 1 to 22. This is the word of God. And as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if you are being examined, we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to the crippled man. By what means this man has been healed? Let it be known to you, all of you, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is a stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is a salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were uneducated, common men, they were astonished. And they recognized that they had been with Jesus. But seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say to their opposition. But when they had commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all were praising God for what had happened. For the man on whom the sign of healing was performed was more than 40 years old. This is the word of God. It's a long verses. Our text is kind of long, but the story is really short. Now I'm going to tell you two different stories today. First one is the leaders of Israel, and the second one is the disciples. Let's jump into our discussion and from our text. But the leaders of Israel, Now, when we were studying on the parable of Jesus Christ, which is Matthew 21, about 3 to 4 weeks ago, there was the parable of the tenants, that we have observed that and how the leaders of Israel treated Jesus Christ. Now, talking about the leaders, they were the ones who had to teach people about the scriptures and truth and about regarding the Messiah from the scriptures. They had a responsibility for that. And they were the ones who had to recognize the Messiah. They have to tell people this is real one, this is not real one, this is good one. That's their responsibility. They had the opportunity and knowledge of recognizing the Messiah, Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, we have learned that they rejected Christ. Even they denied Christ and they killed Christ. That what they wanted was not a new king. The other way, they didn't want any Messiah. But politically, they want to be secured. They want to have a secured lifestyle and power and authority that given by Roman government. So they had to reject the Messiah in order to have their power and life and security and authority. So Jesus quoted Psalm 118:22, responding to their unfaith, and which is Psalm 118:22 is a stone that builders rejected has become the cornerstone. We learned about that. It's lots of things in this short verse. Now also we see the same quotation, same verse from Peter's preaching to the leaders of Israel today, which is verse 11. Jesus is a stone that was rejected by you. And then he's specifically pointing the leaders of Israel. Then that stone has become the cornerstone. So Peter is trying to teach them, you did wrong. So let's think about these religious leaders for a moment. Now, the Jewish leaders that we know and Luke talks about in our text is this group, the priest and the Sadducees and elders and scribes, like Pharisees. What they want is nothing but only peace with Romans. Any type of riot or any kind of political revolution was considered as a threat to them. They don't want to be changed at all. Now, Jesus, who was the head of this new movement, bringing thousand people and going here and there, so he was a threat to them. So therefore, their job is not maintaining him, but they had to remove him. They have to kill Jesus Christ. Not for the sake of nation, but for the sake of their own prosperity and peace. So they played a major role to crucify Jesus Christ. Now, it has been about 2 months. We know that it's 50 days later after the death of Jesus Christ. They heard about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So they lied. They knew that Jesus resurrected. But they lied and they scattered lies to people and also disciples, they scattered all over the world and they were gone. But they heard that the scattered disciples resumed their meetings again. Now, throughout Israel's history, many, many revolutionary leaders came and just go and disappeared. So religious leaders of Israel, they didn't have to worry about this new movement at that time. So they must have thought that this new movement with student of disciples will be slowly gone and disappearing in a second or something like that. That's kind of their mentality. But they must have heard another news after 50 days later. They must have heard that more than 3,000 people joined this new movement, which is Acts chapter 2, based on Peter's teaching, preaching. Also, they heard what Peter said in a temple. In chapter 3, Peter said so many things about their fault. Also, Peter did something. He healed a man who had been crippled more than 40 years since his birth. Peter healed him. That's not the end. Chapter 3 and verse 11, while people, the crippled man, clung to Peter and John, it says all the people, and astonished them. They marveled what happened to them and ran together to them to see Peter and these people, to listen to Peter's. So the city is moving, city is changing with the coming of the Holy Spirit. Something is happening there. People were amazed by what Peter did, and people began listening to Peter's teaching about Jesus Christ. And Peter proved that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And then Peter also accused the leaders of Israel for the death of Jesus Christ. Chapter 2, verse 23. He said, "You crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men." In chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. "You denied the holy and the righteous one and asked for murder to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life." Very powerful. I don't know how many people will say like this even nowadays. But considering what Peter said to the crowd in chapter 2 and chapter 3, the religious leaders were greatly, greatly disturbed. That's in our text. The greatly disturbed is one word in Greek. In verse 1 and 2, "And as they were speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and Sadducees came upon them." Why? Because greatly annoyed. And it explains the reason. Because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees, and the scribes, which is the Pharisees, and elders and rulers, the entire leaders of Israel, they were greatly disturbed by Peter's preaching. Now, John Stott gives two significant reasons why these people were greatly annoyed or disturbed. The first one is politically. They did not want to make any trouble with the Romans because these people are making and talking about things. They didn't want any trouble with the Romans. So because, you know, that time Romans appointed the high priest, and they approve of things like that, so they don't want to lose anything like that. Then theologically, they denied, especially these Sadducees, they denied the doctrine of the resurrection of the dead. So it can't be someone is preaching about the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the temple, so which the apostle proclaimed in Jesus' name, and so they could not let these disciples were talking about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So they had to stop them doing that. So the captain of the temple moved and acted and arrested Peter and John while they were still speaking to the people in the temple. So they put them in jail. That's the first sin. Now the next day was a big day. The entire Sanhedrin council members, which is 71 members, met together to question about the incident, to question the disciples. That's our verse 6. Interesting to read verse 6. It says, "With Annas and the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and all who were of the high priestly family." Now, we're not sure who were John and Alexander, the one of members, but we know two names here. Annas, who was a retired priest, actually deposed by Romans, and Caiaphas, who was Annas' son-in-law at the time and the current high priest appointed by the Romans. Now, these two high priests, we remember their names because they killed Jesus Christ in Matthew 21. And I listened to what they said to the disciples in verse 7. It's very familiar to us. And when they had set them in the midst, at the time they had like a half circle, sitting around half circle, and then Peter and John in the middle. And then they said, but they inquired, "By what power and by what name did you do this?" That's an interesting question. They knew what happened. They knew who did it. God did it. But they are asking, "By what power and by what name did you do this?" They asked the same question to challenge and to accuse Jesus Christ when Jesus was teaching at the temple. So we know these questions. They accuse Jesus for blasphemy after asking these questions. So now, the same question they intended to accuse the disciples, and the same rule applies for accusing the disciples. They know what Peter did. He healed a man who has been crippled more than 40 years. That's incredible. He healed him in the name of Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 3 and 6. Even verse 14 says, tell what they knew about the crippled man because he was with Peter and John at the time. So they knew what's going on. And also verse 14 exactly say, but seeing the man who was healed standing beside them. Basically, the leaders knew that God healed the crippled man, but they asked this unwise question. They could not deny that God had done all these things, healing the crippled man. However, the real issue is not the action of God, not the power of Jesus Christ. The real issue in them is the name of Jesus Christ they don't like. So, according to their tradition, the leaders held responsible what happened in the temple. Their leaders. So they had actually the authority to teach people and do God's work in the temple. That's their job. That means the disciple didn't have any right to teach and do anything in the temple like that. They're arguing with that point of view. Peter healed the crippled man, and he didn't have any authority to do that. And Peter proclaimed the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the temple. He didn't have any authority to do that. So they're ready to persecute them. They're ready to remove their authority from them. So they persecuted and try to remove their positions as they persecuted and killed Jesus Christ. And verse 21 clearly says in their mind, what they have in their minds, verse 21, they had a further threatened them. Many scholars understand that they were trying to kill them in the later if they keep telling about Jesus Christ. It's that their mind is to kill them, to remove all the threats. And we know that this is the first persecution of the early church. From the beginning, the church of the Lord was persecuted. It reminds us of what Jesus said to them, Matthew 24 and 9, you will be hated. That's a very powerful verse. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now, the truth of Jesus Christ will bring us persecution. The truth of the power of the message of Jesus Christ will make our life very uncomfortable in this world. The gospel of Jesus Christ will make you and me to be hated by all the people. So we see that happening from the beginning. Yes, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the best news that we could have ever heard, you know, because it was about God's amazing grace. It is the message of the forgiveness of our sins. It is the message of true hope and salvation. So we are happy to hear the gospel. It is the message of the eternal life in Jesus Christ. However, it doesn't mean then our life on earth would always be successful and happy and enjoyable. As the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ was suffered. And we will be. We will be like him. We will be suffered. We will be persecuted by the world because of his name that we see from the disciples' life. And let's talk about then Peter and John when they were persecuted by the leaders of the church. Now, Peter's answer to their questions, maybe their challenges and accusations, was very interesting. And then in verse 4, Luke says very specifically, then Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the main thing, filled with the Holy Spirit. We know what happened to the disciples in Acts 2 when the Holy Spirit came down. The Holy Spirit came with the power of wind and fire. We learned about that last week. The presence of the Holy Spirit enabled the disciples to speak different languages. There's so many things we can talk about speaking in tongues, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit. So that people from all the world, the nations, heard the message of Jesus Christ. That's in Acts 2. In Acts 2, 2 and verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. It happened to Peter again and again in chapter 4 and 8. Now, what Luke says here in text is not about new coming of the Holy Spirit. We should not be confused. The verb filled here in verse 8 is passive participle, which means Peter has been filled with the Holy Spirit. So Luke says in verse 8 is like this. By power of the Holy Spirit, Peter spoke to them. And listen to what he said in verse 9. If we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man. That's a very interesting statement. And Peter started his preaching and his statement by telling them that what happened to the man and what Peter did to this man. And Peter said that is an act of good deed. That's Peter's definition. The man has been crippled for 40 years. Think about that in your mind. 40 years, he was not able to walk. But he has been healed by the name of the Jesus Christ. Now he is here with them. Now he walks around with them. And then Peter raised a question to the leaders. Do you think this is good work or bad work? We believe that this is an act of good deed. Then why are you judging us? Now here the word examine in verse 9 is actually meaning of judging. Why are you judging us from this good deed? That's Peter's question to the leaders. Very smart. And then saying like this, why are you here? Are we here for this good deed? So Peter is raising question to them when they ask Peter about by what power are you doing this? Now Peter is asking them, and why? Why we are here for doing this good deed? Now, then Peter explains the cause of this good deed in verse 10, which is very powerful. Let it be. You want to know about this? Then let it be known to you, all of you in hell, and to all people of Israel, that by the name of Christ, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Listen to Peter's strong voice in his words, in his preaching. He's saying, do you really know who is responsible for this good deed happened to this man? Do you really want to know by whom is this man healed? Do you really want to know who did this good deed? Yeah, then I will tell you. This man was healed by the name of Jesus Christ. And this man is standing in front of you right now between us, you and me, because of the power of the Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the source of the power. That's my answer. And that's not the end. Peter was brought to the Sanhedrin to be judged, as we know. But now Peter began judging them in verse 10, and judging the leaders, and let it be known to you all whom you crucified and whom God raised from the dead. Jesus Christ did it, but you crucified him. Don't you remember what you did? This is a very awkward moment for the leaders, because they arrested Peter and John to investigate, to accuse them. Now, what we see is Peter is trying to accuse them. Now, Peter is bringing them to the God's court on trial. And then these guys, the leaders, try to make a sentence and things like that in a court setting, a Sanhedrin court setting. But Peter is bringing them to God's court setting and asking their fault and sin. Peter accused their sin and killing the Messiah and saying that God raised Jesus whom you killed, and then he healed this man in front of you. So this is your sin and my sin. Whose sin? This is your glory, my glory, and whose glory? Now, in verse 11, Peter also argues that the scriptures, what scripture says about what's happening here. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone, quoted from Psalm 118 verse 22. It's the builders, which means the leaders of Israel, rejected the stone, the Christ, the Messiah. Peter is saying that you rejected the Messiah and you killed the Messiah. Jesus was the despised stone. However, he was exalted by God to the place of honor and glory. I'm going to tell you about truth. God has raised him from the dead. Have you ever heard about his resurrection? He rose from the dead and God has raised him from the dead. And God made this the rejected stone as a key part of the building. Now the despised one, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the cornerstone, which is the most important stone in the building which God is constructing right now in God's salvation plan. So in Peter's response, it has lots of things. In verse 12, he says, and there is, he's adding more, there is salvation in no one else. But there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. No one else could heal this crippled man, but only Jesus Christ, the Son of God. No one else could save this crippled man, but only Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Salvation comes from only God by means of no one else but Jesus Christ alone. Did you know that? Peter is arguing. And God's salvation plan has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ. Only Christ. Did you know that? Now Peter proclaimed Jesus as the only Savior, which means Christ alone, asking and accusing them, do you know that? Simply saying to them, Jesus is the name for salvation. He is the Messiah. And Jesus saves you. It's amazing to see what Peter is doing in the court setting. Peter sees their questions and challenges and threats and persecutions as an opportunity to preach Christ. To preach Christ to the leaders and to the people in the temple. That was really amazing. Peter's preaching brings us some sort of fire into our hearts. Because we know that no other name under heaven given among men but Jesus Christ. The leaders of Israel were literally surprised by Peter's provoking message. And verse 13 reads, they were astonished, which means they were extraordinarily impressed. They were amazed. They didn't expect. Because Peter's boldness. Peter didn't care he's going to die or not, but he cared about the truth of Jesus Christ. That's why he was really boldly preaching Christ in the temple to the leaders of Israel who rejected Christ. But think about that sin. It's really amazing. Really amazing. People out there in the world, they will not listen to us when we speak of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They will not listen. The same sin, but Peter boldly preached Christ to them, who will never listen to him. So they were really amazed. And then Luke used two interesting words in verse 13 to describe their feeling about Peter. They found it uneducated and also common man. Now the uneducated is found only here in the New Testament. Very interesting. It means without letters or unschooled. It doesn't mean that they didn't know how to read, but they knew how to read. It means without letters or unschooled or no formal education, which means that theologically they don't have any education to be
rabbis or to teach people. That sense, uneducated. And a common man, it happens in New Testament five times, but in only Luke uses here one time here. It means untrained or without formal status. So these two words, uneducated and common man, we can picture that Luke describes is the leader of Israel were greatly surprised, astonished, and disturbed by their provoking teaching, because they know that Peter didn't have any theological education or any other formal education. He was not trained as a rabbi. He was not trained to interpret the word of God, the scripture. A kind of embarrassing moment. Someone comes to us and talking about, do you know Jesus Christ? And bringing all the scripture references and talking about the death of Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, his ascension, his second coming. That is what Luke is describing. And but Peter, this uneducated man and common man, and Peter and John, but they made point. They quoted from the Old Testament to argue with educated people, trained people. And they even challenged them, their rejection of the Messiah without any fear. The leaders of Israel could not deny that. Even in verse 16, they could not deny a notable sign that they see, because the crippled man was there. However, they, unfortunately, this is really sad to read their reaction. They did not change their mind. Even Peter challenged them, bringing the evidence of God's working, the power of Jesus Christ to them. They did not change their mind. The message of salvation, the message of Jesus Christ from God has been delivered to them through Peter's words and teaching, but their hearts were still cold and hardened like rock. They still didn't want to hear about the name of Jesus Christ. That we see these things happening in this world. We're preaching Christ, the world, people, they don't want to listen to us. In Isaiah 6 and 9, it says, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, do not perceive. So these people ordered the disciples not to speak about the name of Jesus Christ in verse 18. And in verse 21, they even threatened them when they had further threatened them. That means, as I told you already, they will kill them if they don't listen. We know what Peter and John responded to them. Verse 19. Some sense, when we read this verse 19, in some sense I feel that, wow, he's really crazy. He's really crazy. What he did to the leaders of Israel, preaching Christ to them and rebuking their rejection, that was strong enough. But verse 19, he did it again. Hey, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. And at 20 he says, for we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. Wow. These uneducated men, the disciples, lay people, common people, Peter and John, made the educated men, trained men, speechless. And then Luke clearly tells us the cause of their boldness in verse 8. Why? Filled with the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, we see lots of evidences of the Holy Spirit is working from the beginning of God's creation. And especially Micah chapter 3 and verse 8, I found, I am filled with power, with the Spirit of the Lord. Now what we see in Peter's preaching is the power of the Holy Spirit enabled him to boldly speak about Jesus Christ to these religious leaders. What a wonderful, wonderful scene, picture that we can picture in our mind. This is so beautiful that I want to do. I want all the Christians will do the same thing, because this is how the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. This is how we should do when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not based on our educated knowledge and experience, but it's power of the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul says, Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes." Jesus Christ is the power of God's salvation. The gospel is the power of God's salvation. And we know that Jesus is the gospel, the good news from God we have, and that we have to carry out to the world. And then the Bible teaches that while we were sinners, we were horrible, and God showed His love through Jesus Christ. We have that God's love. Through the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, God proved His love and God showed His immeasurable riches of grace to us. And God forgave our horrible, horrible, horrible sins in Jesus Christ. Now we are standing in front of Him. We're standing in front of God, God's presence, because of His love and His grace. And Peter says in verse 12, that's why there is salvation in no one else, and for there is no other name under heaven given among the men by which we must be saved. That is the gospel that we know. That is the gospel that we have to bring to the world. That is the gospel that we have to not just simply but boldly bring to the world. Doesn't matter they will not listen or they will listen, because it is a work of the Holy Spirit. Our job is bring the gospel to the world, to our neighbors, as Peter did with the power of the Holy Spirit. And the result is very interesting. And verse 4 tells what happened to the early church. Many of those who had heard the word believed. And the number of the men came to about 5,000. Not new 5,000, but we believe that already happened 3,000 and plus 2 more thousand people. Today is Pentecost Sunday. We looked at Acts chapter 2 last week about Pentecost Sunday. And we talked about Reformed Christians. The kind of misconception that Reformed Christians don't know about the Holy Spirit, that's wrong. B.B. Warfield, which is a Reformed theologian, he said that Calvin is the theologian of the Holy Spirit. And then Abraham Kuyper also said that. And I'm trying to bring more Reformed books about the Holy Spirit, and I found one interesting book this week, Sinclair Ferguson. We know him. He said two interesting words in his book. I'm still reading his book. He says, from the Old Testament, Yahweh's Spirit is, which is Holy Spirit, Yahweh's Spirit is the blessed of God. Blessed of God. And he explains like this. The irresistible power. Irresistible power. By which He accomplishes His purpose. So we need the Holy Spirit in our life, in our church. And he says again, God extends Himself in active engagement with His creation in personal way through the Holy Spirit. What Luke says in verse 4, many of those who had heard the word believe, should be our testimony. Not with your knowledge, not with your experience or your ability, but power of the Holy Spirit. Our church, the New Hope Christian Reformed Church, will grow.
It's not your work. It's not my work. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. But it's God's promise.
With the power of the Holy Spirit, the church of Jesus Christ in the world will continually grow until Jesus Christ comes again. Therefore, brothers, sisters, as the first century Christian did, pray and waiting and ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit. He will be with us. Amen. Let's pray.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful text that we just heard. But Lord, we know we have to bring the message of Jesus Christ like Peter. But so many times we are hesitating and we're just thinking that, how can I do it and how can we do it? Lord, without the power of the Holy Spirit, we can't do anything. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, our church would not grow. So we ask your power and your Holy Spirit being with us, remain upon us as he did remain upon the disciples. Lord, would you please encourage our church members, brothers and sisters, to experience the presence of Holy Spirit in their lives every day, filled with Holy Spirit. We pray, O Son, in Jesus Christ. Amen.